Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Wednesday, August 19th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we are in the doctor's opinion on page XXX. We're reading the first paragraph, which begins with, "There are many." Today's readers are Rhonda R. for the 12 Steps, Sharon W. for the 12 Traditions, Robin T., Marilyn T., and Amy K. Wendy B. will greet newcomers and get numbers from available sponsors at the end of the meeting, and then Leslie M. will close us out with some important announcements for you. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for August 18th, Tuesday, is 15176. That's 15,176. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, that would be Wednesday, August 19th. Wednesday, August 19th, is 15,184. That's 15184. DOA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Elaine. This is Rhonda R., grateful in Georgia. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and came willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for letting me be of service today.
Thank you so much, Rhonda R. And I'll now ask Sharon W. to read the 12 traditions.
Thank you, Elaine. This is Sharon W., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership, it is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Sharon W. How will meeting work? Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify us as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what we read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the chapter, The Doctor's Opinion, on page XXX, reading the first paragraph, and I'll ask Robin P. to please begin reading for us.
Thanks so much, Elaine. This is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. Okay. There are many situations which arise out of the phenomenon of craving, which cause men to make the supreme sacrifice rather than continue to fight. Wow. The supreme sacrifice is, suicide, in my opinion, and continuing to fight the pain of playing Russian roulette with your own life. I just would wake up in the morning and just say, today I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to binge. I'm not going to starve. I'm not going to vomit. I'm not going to do whatever it was. But to me, it's, for my recovery, it was the same thing, just manifested differently and on different days and different ways I thought I could be in control and the illusion of control and playing Russian roulette with my own life, every day thinking this day will be different and then losing the entire day to that horrible obsession, that obsession of the mind, that phenomenon of craving. For me, it's a physical, emotional, and spiritual recovery. And physically, I'm a vegan. I also don't eat poison to the best of my ability. It's such a funny sentence, but I get triggered by GMOs, and I've learned over the years, things like that. So I get to feed my body for health. I get to use my body as like God intended to feed me, for my well-being. And so physically, to avoid that phenomenon of craving, I avoid foods that trigger that. For me, it's gluten and sugar. And, there's a couple other things. I don't do well eating mold, so I don't eat mushrooms, like things like that. But it's just tuning in to God and my fellows asking for help. I actually worked with a nutritionist to help me, which was really a blessing. And just my body knows that from these 5 years of abstinence, my body tells me you know, that feels good. That feels like fuel. You know, I wouldn't put leaded fuel in a no-leg car. That's the same thing, because triggering that phenomenon of craving is literally could be a death sentence. You know, just the agony of defeat over and over again, and just the incredulousness, like, how did this happen again? The miracle is I get to live my life with three meals, and then my life is what's in between. I used to live for my food. Now I actually just eat to live, and I'm so grateful that it's just food. Wow, that's just literally a miracle. I'll be eternally grateful for this program. Because working with steps, working with others, being of service, it's completely changed my life. And now I get to live. So God bless everybody with a very blessed afternoon day. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much, Robin P. Great start. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might have a chance to share their experience too. Would anybody like to comment on this powerful paragraph?
Penny LC.
Penny LC.
Donna B.
Donna B.
Colleen N.
Colleen N.
Connie W.
Connie W.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O. You guys, this is so. Go ahead.
Wendy B., you have room for one more?
Do, Wendy B. Wow, this is just like a rainbow all lighting up in front of me. Thank you. Lovely, lovely. Okay, Penny L.C., Donna B., Colleen N., Connie W., Kathleen O., and Wendy B. Boy, are we all in for a treat. We're going to start off with Penny L.C. Please go ahead, Penny, and you'll be followed by okay. Donna B.
Thank you, Elaine, for your service. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny LC, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And even just to make this a more simplified version for myself, the situations that arise out of a phenomenon of craving, that can be beyond the food, that can be a craving for my ego. You know, anytime I want to try to control, manage, or manipulate someone else or some other situation around me, I am making that supreme sacrifice of giving up my freedom and my serenity instead of holding back, pausing, and reaching out to my higher power and asking for guidance. So I really have to watch that is the craving that can also take me down, as well as the food used to. And the way, the way the solution was for the food was for me to put a boundary around it. And to make sure that it was what was within the boundary was healthy for me and was what my body needed. And in that same way, I have to use my strength that God gives me and the guidance that God gives me to put a boundary around my ego so that I can live within the boundary that I believe God would have me be. And so instead of being self-centered and fearful, I can be God-reliant and trusting. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny L.C. Donna B., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Colleen N.
Good morning.
Please go ahead, Donna.
Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you so much.
Sure. Thank you. Good morning. This is Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic calling from Denver, Colorado. I was so mesmerized by the last share that I forgot that I was going to share afterwards. I wanted to focus on the word supreme sacrifice which for me is living without actually living. And when I'm in the food, I can't really live. My mind, my attention is completely hijacked by the obsession to get more food, to get more food, to get more food, to experience shame, guilt, remorse. It's not a life at all. And when I'm abstinent and living in recovery, I have the opportunity to actually live, to be present. And that's present for the joys in my life, but also present for the challenges that accompany the uncertainty that I feel like I'm living in so much these days, especially around my children and what school is going to look like and what school isn't going to look like and whether they will be healthy physically and whether they'll be healthy emotionally. And I can really spiral into a place of darkness and fear and dread. But when I'm abstinent and practicing the steps, seeking God's will for me, seeking an intuitive thought, seeking an inspiration, pausing, asking God, then I have the opportunity to live, to really live, to really be present, to be connected to something greater than myself, and to be connected to the people in my life. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Donna B. Colleen N., you're up next, and you're going to be followed by Connie W.
Good morning, Colleen N. from Florida, recovering compulsive overeater, equal opportunity food abuser, and an obsessive compulsive food abuser. I am 105 days abstinent in this program, and I'm so grateful. Hearing this paragraph, cravings would just hijack my mind. It would just lead me into this path of justification, negotiations. I would just submit to my cravings. I'd make such terrible, poor decisions, and it just kept me in such denial. And I say that because it immediately made me think of my former career. I retired in December, and I was a substance abuse counselor, and I worked with people that had some pretty severe chemical substance abuses. And every Monday was our group, and every Monday night I would make food because I was obsessed about making food for everybody. So I would make food because I would justify that they were at work all day and didn't eat, and I wanted them to be bellies full and be able to focus on the work we were going to do for the next 2 hours. And I never allowed sugar because a lot of addicts substitute sugar. So one night I decided to make a sugar night, and I made all kinds of sugar desserts. And everyone kind of raised an eyebrow like a bunch of children and said, "You never let us have sugar." And I kind of giggled and said, "Huh, I guess I was in the mood for some sugar today. This is what you guys get." And we talk about program and we do the work. And I had never, ever been to a 12-step meeting because our program was state-run. We were not allowed to teach the actual big book AANA stuff. I had to use other things, other tools. And the next day, one of my clients came to my office for therapy, and I had the leftover sweets. And I said, "Hey, you got to do me a favor. You have to take these with you to work, because if they're here, I'll eat them." And I kind of said it jokingly. And he looked across my desk and said, "You're no different than I am." And I was a little insulted. I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "That's your heroin in the other room." He says, "You've been thinking about it all morning, haven't you?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "Did you eat one?" I said, "Half." He says, "Where's the other half?" I said, "In the garbage with coffee grinds on it." so I won't go back and get it. He says, see, you're no different. You need to go to a meeting too. And I was so highly insulted. And I was in such deep denial. And it took me another several months. And God forgive me, but this pandemic has been a blessing for me. Because if I didn't have to sit home and look at myself and have my family and my children say, what's going on? All you're doing is eating all day. You're cooking all day.
Good reminder.
Thank you so much. It's just given me such a blessing to take the time and meet all of you wonderful people in program and focus finally on fixing some things for myself. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Colleen Ann. Connie W., you're up next, followed by Kathleen O.
Hi, this is Connie W. I'm in Virginia. Thank you so much for your service, Elaine. So I got this morning was there are many situations that will arise in my life. And it's, for me, how will I handle the situation? Will I pick up the fork and the spoon? Will I shove it in? Will I have a flat tire and lose my mind? Will I have an argument and go crazy? The book tells me I need to put it down. I'm not in control. I'm undisciplined. I need help. And that's where I am. I need help. Every day there is the prayer, there's the meditation, there's the writing, there's the journaling, there's fellows that are on the line that I can call and I can ask for help. I can't do this by myself. I cannot. You know what? I'm one of those people who would love to isolate, and I don't want to be bothered. You know, I'll get a phone call. I'm looking at the phone. I don't want to be bothered. I woke up this morning. The first thing I heard was ego. It was telling me, you need to do this. You need to do that. I had to just kind of stay there, close my eyes, and ask my higher power, what should I do? What is the next step for me? You know, get on a meeting, listen to my fellows that tell me this is the walk that I need to walk. There's two voices that's always screaming at me. And if it's the loud one, it's definitely ego. If it's that quiet one, it's my higher power. I'm so grateful to be able to share. Thank you so much for letting me share. You have a great day.
Thank you very much, Connie W. Kathleen O., you are up next, and then we have Wendy B., and we'll take another lineup on the first paragraph on page XXX, the doctor's opinion. It begins with, there are many. Please go ahead, Kathleen O.
Good morning, Elaine. Thanks for your service this morning. It's Kathleen O. in Northern California, recovered. Thank you, God. You know, you said we're in for a treat after you took the lineup, and I thought, you know, treat always used to mean food to me. And when you said treat, it's like it is a treat. It's a treat to be on this line, to have this meeting, you know, to read a paragraph every morning and listen to everyone's amazing comments, which, you know, I can almost always 100% relate to what everyone's saying. So it is such a gift to be able to be reminded every morning of what it was like and what I need to remember every day. And that supreme sacrifice, oh my gosh, I used to abuse my body with food. And the result of that was ruined relationships, a very unhappy, miserable life, and a body that I was wreaking havoc on. I remember what I used to do to my body, and it's just, oh, it's, I'll never forget it. I need to never forget it, but the crazy behaviors I used to do and you know, shoving food in my mouth and not being able to stop and realizing I couldn't stop. But then forgetting how horrible it was and waking up the next morning and doing it all over again. I feel like, you know, we were giving these bodies in life to house our spirits and our souls, and that we all have purposes. And there was no way I could realize any of that if I was abusing my body and making that supreme sacrifice of never figuring out what the heck I was put here for. And so instead of chasing that ease and comfort from the food, instead of chasing the food, chasing that hit, you know. Today, I chase the message of depth and weight. I have a connection with a higher power. I go to that higher power when I'm not sure what to do, what decisions to make, and I just get quiet. And if I'm quiet, and a lot of this happens in meditation, I'll get the answer I need because it'll feel right. If I'm not certain, I'll look at both choices I might have, and one's going to feel really good in my heart and the other one's not. And that's normally how I know I'm making the right decision. And so to have all of you, you know, who I can relate to, who I can talk to, and having a higher power and working these steps, my life, I feel like I know my purpose in life. I'm following it, and life is so much nicer, and my body is so much happier by putting nourishing food in it, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kathleen O. Okay, Wendy B is up next, and then we'll take another lineup on that page. XXX, paragraph one, there are many. Please go ahead, Wendy.
Hi, this is Wendy B from sunny Chicago. Really glad to be here this morning. Excuse me. I just wanted to say, when I read this paragraph, the supreme sacrifice, I'm new. I have 25 days of abstinence as of going to sleep yesterday, for which I'm very, very grateful, and developing a new relationship with food and, more importantly, with my higher power. When I thought, when I read the word supreme sacrifice, it reminded me that just a little bit over a month ago, I would wake up every morning and think, what's the use? You know, I felt like I had nothing to live for. And I do. I have a lot to live for, but my disease was lying to me, you know. And I would wake up and just have nothing to look forward to. What was I going to eat for breakfast? And make darn sure it had a heck of a lot of sugar in it. And then I was off for the day. That was how I was living for a long time. And I don't have to do that today. I haven't found it necessary to put sugar in my body for 25 days. So I'm very, very grateful. I'm grateful that I don't think about the supreme sacrifice anymore. And I'm going to keep coming back. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. Do keep coming back. We want to welcome every newcomer. Everybody is able to share. We just ask that you, we value your experience. We ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might have a chance to share their experience too. So if you'd like to comment on that first paragraph on page XXX, please let me know.
Irene B.
Laura R.
Darian B.
Felicia B.
Laura R. Darian K.
Felicia
C.
Deb E.
Deb E. And one more. Okay. Well, let's go with Irene B., Laura R., Darian K. Wow, I can't believe I got this. This is like a miracle. Darian K., Felicia D., and Dev. Dev C? No. Dev E. That's it. Okay. And so we may have time for another one after this. So, Irene B., you're up first. Yay. And then you'll be followed by Laura R. Please go ahead, Irene.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Irene B. I recovered bulimic, but still a very perfectionistic, codependent person. This disease, this disease and all of my diseases caused me to try to commit suicide 4 times. There was no hope, no way out for me. It was very, very hopeless, and I just thought that I wasn't hurting anybody but myself. very selfish, not realizing how much pain I was causing my family, and just unbelievable. But and this disease is powerful, cunning, baffling, progressive, fatal, all of those things. I was a compulsive overeater since age 6 and bulimic at age 18. And my first suicide attempt was at age 20. And that's how progressive and how horrible this can be. But by the grace of God, there were many professionals who helped me along the way. But I could never shake this bulimia thing. I just couldn't do it. I shared last week that I was out of options. I had tried just about everything. The only thing I hadn't tried was a 12-step program. And I knew that AA worked for alcoholics. And by the grace of God, I'm about to have 41 months of recovery from bulimia. And that's a gift of God, because there is no way that I could have ever accomplished this without the program and God's help. And I always had God in my life, but I didn't know how to connect with Him. I had my preconceived ideas on how to do things, because I was the shaker and the maker, and I had all the answers and I knew it all. But this program has taught me to let go of preconceived notions. And it has taken me from hopelessness to
gentle reminder
hope. And there is hope and there is recovery here. And if I can recover, anyone can. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Irene B., for sharing your experience, strength, and hope. Laura R., your turn next, and then you'll be followed by Darian K. Please go ahead, Laura.
Thank you so much. Good morning. This is Laura R., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and I am humbled this morning and so grateful to be on the line with all of you. Oh, my gosh. I'm just sitting here in awe of all the shares this morning and how grateful we are to have each other, how lucky we are to have each other and a solution to this problem, a solution to all of our problems outlined in the book of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, it's just, it blows me away. I'm just thinking too of the journey of recovery. I'm really emotional because it's been hard, right? Like 16 years has been my fight. And before that, you know, I was in the disease and so many, and through the 16 years, I've had to let go of so many things. First, you know, came alcohol and drugs, and then was cigarettes, and then was men, and then, you know, food, and then caffeine, and all of them were years of fighting to get those to put down. You know, I mean, you know, when I was 27, I got sober, and then it took 7 years of recovery to put down cigarettes, you know, and in there, I was struggling with men. And beating myself up to be a weakling, like, you did it again, and just, how do I put this down? And the obsession, the mental obsession of all of it, the food, you know, once the food got kicked into my life, and that was 3-year battle, you know, to get here, you know, and even once I got the food down, I had the caffeine, and I was just pumping that through my veins like nobody's business, going through Starbucks lines 3 times a day, like, just drinking 10 cups a day, and you swear to God, you want to take that from my hands, I'm going to kill you, like, you know, and just, and then beating myself up for a week, and like, put it down, you know, you need to put it down, you know, just, oh my God, like, the battle, you know, the fight, and I am so grateful that the moment I got into recovery, I just bought in and knew that it could be better. I'm like, okay, I swear to God, it could be better, and then when I realized I was addicted to something else, I'm like, I can't live like this. You know, and that mental obsession, it's crazy. And then you pick it up and it's just like the cycle. But today, you know, I have 7 months of back-to-back clean 100% abstinence. Nothing, you know, nothing. I went to the doctor's the other day and she went down the checklist, you know, do you drink, do you drug, do you smoke, do you do caffeine, you know, and she looked at me, she goes, God, you're boring. I'm like, oh, I wish, I wish, because I still have the mind, right? Like, it's still, that's why I fight. I'm trying to learn how to relax, take it easy in that struggle. You know, with all of it down, I finally can try to learn, because I'm so baby, I'm so new, is try to learn how to connect to God. And that's the tough part, you know, like I still grab into people, places and things for acceptance. You all, like I was just writing the other day about struggling of wanting to be popular, wanting to be seen on the line, wanting to be her or him or it or sound better. And it's never ending. But I'm here just to be, I want to be a worker among workers. That's why I keep coming back. I just, the ego, like someone was talking about earlier, thank you. It's hard to let go and let God, you know? And so that's why I keep coming back. I'm never going to arrive, thank God, but sometimes it is hard. And thank you to all of you. And that's with that, I will pass. Thanks.
Very glad you're here, Laura. Thank you so much. Darian Kay, you're up next, followed by Felicia B.
Oh, good morning, Elaine. This is Darian Kay from the Berkshires of Massachusetts. I'm walking, so I'm a little winded. I'm okay. so grateful to be on the line with all of you and claim my seat. The supreme sacrifice. I was just thinking, like, even in this day and age with COVID, people who are struggling with obesity are making this extreme sacrifice, with their bodies. And, I don't have to do that today. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I'm in a respectable size body and I can, walk and, move and breathe. And boy, that's something we can't take for granted these days. And I made the supreme sacrifice. I mean, I came in early on. I've been in program almost 34 years. But people say, oh, you were young. You're so, I'm so happy for you that you found it early, but you know what, 24 years of not being able to, do certain things and be part of certain things and the low self-esteem and, just sacrificing a lot of what I could have been, was tough for those number of years. And, today I have a way out. Today I have a way out of the negativity. And, I have disciplines in my life, which, boy, should be a four-letter word because I just don't like to be disciplined. I don't like work. Work is a four-letter word. And so I'm just so grateful that I'm willing, that I have the willingness today, that I woke up, got on my knees, and had the willingness to work this program for one more day. And it's a miracle. It's a miracle. I don't know. I know it's my higher power. I know it today. And, to be able to call in on this line and be with all you beautiful people on a regular basis, I always say that it's really like opening a present every day and just getting that gift of recovery that I'm just so grateful to have today. So, I don't have the cravings. I can go, I can eat my food, and then I can live in between. And isn't that what we're supposed to do, right? We're supposed to have the food for fuel and then live in between. And that's what I'm doing today. I'm living in between. Is it easy? No. Does my disease talk to me? Yeah, it definitely does. It says, you know what? Pull the shades down and go back to bed. No, I can't listen to that. I have to do the opposite. My higher power says, no, get out, enjoy the day, enjoy the nature, enjoy the colors, and be present today, because this is all you have. That's all we have is today. So I'm just so grateful to be here with all of you, and I pass.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Darian Kay. And Felicia B, you're up next, followed by Dev E.
Hi, Felicia B. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I just wanted to claim my seat. I have 43 days, the phenomenon of craving. I can completely relate to that. I'm a little bit overwhelmed at how much I missed in my life because I was so focused on the obsession and the compulsion and the craving in so many different areas. Just very, very grateful for these meetings. Sometimes I feel shaky, and then when I plug in, I listen to these meetings, it makes it so much better. So I just wanted to introduce myself and say thank you, and I can really relate. Bye.
Thank you very much, Felicia B. Welcome, welcome. Dev E., you're up next, and then we'll have an opportunity to take some more people who'd like to share on page XXX, paragraph 1. There are many. Please go ahead, Dev E.
Hi, good morning. This is Deb E., recovered in Southern California, and I missed the first few shares, so I'm really looking forward to going back and listening to them. It's been great hearing everyone this morning. At first, I wasn't sure what I was going to share on this paragraph, and it really reminds me of the resignation I felt when I just felt like I couldn't control my eating anymore. And that, like, I knew the binge was coming and there was nothing I could do to stop it. And to just kind of sit there and give up and have it, it felt like it was just happening to me, that I couldn't control it. And these words, many situations, you know, it wasn't just with the food that this happened. It's, you know, with my people pleasing and procrastination and not being able to speak up for myself, how much I sacrificed. How much I sacrificed myself just to avoid feeling uncomfortable, thinking that the feelings of discomfort would be worse than the sacrifice that happened. And I can see it now, looking back, that it really was a supreme sacrifice, and it wasn't worth it. And it would have been so much better for me to just face the situations that I was in as they came, instead of just resigning to them and thinking that just because it's just me, it doesn't matter. It's okay. I can, you know, I wouldn't treat someone else this way, but it's okay for me to be treated this way because it's just me. You know, that thinking is so deeply ingrained in me. And it's hard to, I still have to fight it today, you know, and this is where it goes beyond the food, right? It's like it becomes that my awareness comes to me. It came to me through my eating and what I was doing with food. But once the food is gone, if I'm willing to look deeper, then I can see the thread of all this in so many parts of my life. And I like how it says it, which caused men to make the supreme sacrifice. It really feels like it's, you know, that I don't have that control. And the only way I do get some control back is by leaning on my higher power and turning my will over. And when I'm in line with my higher power's will, it's not like I all of a sudden have control, but it feels like I'm more in control because I'm aligned with the spiritual and I'm aligned with decisions that are and actions that are good for me. And I think with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dev E. We have time for about two and a half minute shares here. Who would like to share? Who would like to comment? And I do ask that we value your experience, but if you've shared in the last 2 or 3 days, please do not share so that others can share their experience too. Who would like
Michelle
to
Michelle F.
Michelle F.
Emily E.
And Emily E. Oh, I'm sorry. We won't have time for a third share, but who was that? What was that name? Evan, was it?
Tyler.
Tyler. Okay. Well, we'll see how we do, but I think we're only going to be able to fit two in. So please go ahead, Michelle F., and you've got about 2 minutes, okay?
Okay. Thank you very much, Elaine, for your service. And thank you, everybody, for sharing. I've heard such wonderful shares. It's hard to compete with them. I am a compulsive overeater and food addict, among other addictions. And I just remember that part in the big book where it says their alcoholic life seems the only normal one. Well, my food coma, food fog life seemed the only one, as long as I can remember, you know, and there was no God, at least not for me, so I was the center of my universe, and food was my friend, and TV was my other friend, and I stayed isolated, and I lived that way my whole life, and I always looked out the window at life and other people and envied what they had, but it didn't seem possible for me. And I did try to kill myself one time seriously. And I can't tell you the precise age or all the details because my memory of it is kind of foggy. But I wasn't able to keep the pills down. And when I woke up, I was angry. I was bitter. I was angry. I was like, I couldn't even do that right. And I, you know, for someone who didn't believe in God, I sure was mad at him. I was like, you know, why? Why am I still freaking here? There's no purpose because I really didn't think that I deserved to live or had any purpose. And so I made a promise after that, reluctantly, that I wouldn't try again. And I've broken it a couple times more. I've tried. But I tell you, I can relate to not even realizing what I was missing, the technicolor of life. And just how realizing how supremely selfish I was in wanting to end my own life. And the other attempts were as a mother with two small children. So putting down the food helped me find a higher power that I'd kind of been wanting my whole life. And I wouldn't go back to the way it was for anything. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Michelle F. Emily E., you are up next.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh. My name is Emily E., and I'm in Portland, Oregon, and I've never, ever called a show, but I've been listening to these programs for months and months in the Sunday special editions, and I just love it. And I know I need help, and I used to be bulimic, and now I restrict. And I just don't know how to go about getting a sponsor or getting to know people to talk to. So anyway, thank you for being there. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Emily E. We will be taking numbers from newcomers and available sponsors in just a little while. So hang in here and get your pen and paper ready. Hey, Tyler S., I think we have time for you. You want to jump on the line?
Oh, yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go for it, please.
Hi there. Yeah, I definitely think that very powerful paragraph. You know, I think that making the decision not to take care of myself, if I were to do that and not ask for help from a higher power and being stuck in the, you know, compulsive overeating, that is kind of the way to kind of avoid relationships, avoid dealing with intimacy, allowing myself to get close to people, because if I choose the food instead of people, you know, I can't kind of get let down in the moment, you know, but if I allow myself to get close to people, you know, if I'm of service and allow others to help me out, that's where a lot of the, magic happens that I found over the years. And, yeah, so very grateful to be here. I appreciate everybody's shares, and I'll be sticking around. And, yeah, it's a beautiful program. You know, I've been very blessed, and I have to count my blessings, as my grandma used to say, very important. And I don't want to make that supreme sacrifice in the daily actions that I take, that I used to take very regularly, and I don't want to attempt it one time either. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Tyler S. Thank you, everybody that came, shared, listened, read. So glad you're here. Welcome newcomers as well. We're now going to transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Marilyn T. please read page 164?
Thank you. Thank you for your service. This is Marilyn T., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Aptos, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.